In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For he will pluck my feet out of the net.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies and all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy.
I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For he will pluck my feet out of the net.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools, and I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger who I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as a servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blinded from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes open?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains."
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
The children are invited to come sing in the children's choir.
continue with the hymn of the day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "For judgment I come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." John's gospel is a strange but brilliant gospel. As noted a couple weeks ago, John never calls the miracles in his gospel miracles. He calls them signs. They are signs because they are always pointing to a reality that is beyond themselves. As John says at the end of his gospel, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The miracles, the signs in John's gospel always point us away from themselves and to Jesus. They reveal who Jesus is and his work for us so that we might believe in him. And in John's gospel, they generally aren't simply about something that Jesus did 2,000 years ago at a specific time and in a specific place. Of course, they do record that, but instead, John has chosen miracles done by Jesus that connect his earthly ministry to his ongoing ministry in the church. The purpose is not simply that you believe in what Jesus did then and there, but that you believe in what Jesus is doing in our midst, here and now. And this is why, if you read the Gospel of John, his miracles almost always involve water or eating. It is always a washing or a feast, and sometimes it is both. Because John and the Holy Spirit, who used him to write, want you to understand that what Jesus did then and there, he does here and now in a better way through baptism and through the Lord's Supper. And so the account of the blind man receiving his sight is not just about this miracle, as if that weren't enough. We come to see something deeper and stranger still. This man, the man born blind, is not the only one in the story who is blind from birth. He is physically blind, but that which is born of flesh is flesh. And so, from the last couple of weeks, we should be able to predict that physical blindness is not the only thing at play, but rather the more serious and indeed, if not treated, fatal condition of spiritual blindness is at play. We see our clue in verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." It's as if something is wrong with their eyes. And the disciples, just a few verses prior, show that there is something wrong with their eyes as well. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Instead of looking at the blind man with compassion, as Jesus does, instead of seeing the way that Jesus sees, they look down on the man as either being a greater sinner than them, or at least born of greater sinners than them. Again, there is something wrong with their sight. So there is something wrong with the neighbor's eyes and with the disciples' eyes, and of course with the Pharisees' eyes as well. Instead of seeing the obvious miracle that Jesus performed, the Pharisees can only see that it was done on a Sabbath, and therefore supposedly in violation of their laws. Instead of rejoicing with the healed man, they accuse him of being a liar and they call his parents. And do the man's parents know what's going on? No, because there is something wrong with their sight too. They're so afraid of being put out of the synagogue, they are no longer able to see their own dear son standing before them, healed and seeing for the first time in his life. Blinded by fear, they can't see either. As it turns out, in the account of this one blind man being healed, it is actually the case that everyone is blind. And even those who seem to see don't really see. They are blind to the fact that the one walking in their midst and working in their midst is the Lord Almighty, God in human flesh. So a man born blind receives his sight. But there is an even greater miracle hidden here. After the man was betrayed by his parents and cast out by the Pharisees, Jesus hears of it. Jesus searches for the man and, having found him, asks, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped Jesus. There isn't one blind man in the story. No, as we have said, all of them are blind, and in the end, and not until the very, very end, does only one see. Only one sees who Jesus truly is. This same Jesus who spat on the ground, who made mud with his spit, and anointed the blind man's eyes, who bid the man go to the pool and wash, this same Jesus is present with us. Where the word of Jesus is, there is Jesus. Where the baptism of Jesus is, there is Jesus. And where the supper of Jesus is, there is Jesus, God in human flesh, God with us. Let us not be blind. Last week, our Lord came into our midst in a special way. Also, this morning, at Zion Decatur, the Lord came into their midst in a special way. Where I was there to receive my new goddaughter, Lillian, into the faith, for she was baptized, and of course Felicity was baptized here this last week. The Lord came to Felicity and Lillian. He came not to grant them physical sight, but spiritual sight. And he anointed the eyes of Felicity and Lillian so that they might see. Born of water and the Spirit, little Felicity and little Lillian see what so many cannot see. Their words are the words of Psalm 22. You are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. Here in the waters of holy baptism, our Lord Jesus grants spiritual sight. Not to a man born physically blind, but to two little women born spiritually blind, newborn and now born again. To know who he is, to know who God is the gift given by the Spirit in baptism. For Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, and Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature. To be baptized is to see Jesus, and to see Jesus is to see God. For only in Jesus do we comprehend God's love for sinners. It is not love in the way of acceptance or of affirmation of sin. Indeed, to love someone by affirming them in their sin is not love at all. It is not love in the way of second chances. That is good, but it is merely human love. It is love in the way of death and resurrection. It is death and resurrection love. It is a love almost too great for us to comprehend, and indeed, in fact, it is a love too great for us to comprehend, apart from the rebirth of the Holy Spirit. That which is born of Spirit is Spirit. And now we hear what St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." According to the plain words of Holy Scripture, what happens here in holy baptism is something that only God can do. What Jesus did for us on the cross, what Jesus did for us on Good Friday, is given to us. In baptism, we are buried with him. And what Jesus did for us on Easter morning is given to us. In baptism, we are buried with him and we are also raised with him. Jesus' coming out of the tomb is our coming out of the tomb. We have newness of life now and we shall have resurrection then. God loves us to death quite literally, and God loves us to resurrection. This is precisely God's love for sinners. In holy baptism, he Good Fridays us, he Easters us, he baptizes us into Christ and makes us a new creation. So newborn Felicity became born anew once more. A new creation anointed with the Holy Spirit and given eyes to see. And of course, this is not only God's gift to Felicity and to Lillian, but it is also God's gift to you all. The man who once told a man to wash in the pool of Siloam now tells us to wash in the waters of holy baptism. The same Lord who gave sight to the blind now enlightens our eyes so that we may see what so many refuse to see. that Jesus is the Christ, the true God and true man, and the Savior of sinners. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, I will never cast out. And when he says whoever, he means whoever. There is no sin, there is no habit of sin that he cannot wash away. There is no life so lost that he cannot save. There is no person he cannot bury and raise once more. He can and does make all things new. And that means great and small, learned and unlearned, good and bad in sick beds and nursing homes and mother's arms, deaf and hearing, blind and seeing, old and young, you and me, he desires all to be saved. May we not be blind as to shut our eyes to him, for then we would be in a self-imposed darkness, in self-imposed hell. For Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He alone shines, whether you shut your eyes or not. He shines and gives light to the blind. He shines and gives light to those who walk in darkness and in the valley of the shadow of death. No darkness can overcome him. He shines and lights the way back home. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering. Please rise for the Te Deum.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Great Physician, enlighten our eyes by your blessed gospel and hide us in your shelter in the day of trouble. Provide a home in your church for those cast out by this world and unite them with us in the pure confession of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, your Son abides among his saints in the temple of his church. Shelter all those who seek refuge under the cover of his tent, and raise up pastors in every age to serve them in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Father, through holy baptism, you have brought us into the light of Christ. Guide us always in your ways and teach us to know your will, that we would do what is good and right and true. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, those who wait for your salvation have the promise that you will not forsake them. Lead those who wander in darkness through rough places, that they would find the way of righteousness and not be put to shame. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, you have promised that what we suffer does not condemn us, but instead displays your glory. Sustain the afflicted in body or soul, and also all those for whom we pray, especially Amy, Bruce, Harold, Sean, Austin, Thomas, Prabhu, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Mia, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia, that they would take heart, trust you for healing, and find you even in the midst of their trials, and trust in you in all things. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Well, thank you first to David this morning for taking over Bible study this morning. I was at Zion Decatur for the baptism of Pastor Odewalt's new daughter, born on the same day as Felicity, so they share a birthday, and that's very exciting. And I gave him the option of either me just giving him a video to show or actually teaching Bible study himself, and he chose the hard option. So good job on that, and I'll be listening to see whether or not you did a good job or not. But thank you for that, and then of course stepping up in the liturgy a little bit more this morning as well. Ladies' Aid will be this Tuesday at 7 p.m. All the ladies are invited. And the Ladies' Aid is also voted to provide breakfast after the Easter sunrise service this year. Easter is swiftly approaching. I just realized yesterday how close we're getting to the end of Lent and how many sermons I need to start writing to keep up with everything that's going on. The fish fry, thank you for all who helped with that. It was a major success, $1,500 raise that will be split between the Wren and Wilshire fire departments. Certainly they will appreciate that. Are there any other pressing announcements that I have missed? Okay. Depart in peace.